And if Pathfinders, forgive me, it's your day. But I wanted to have a special commercial. So at the end, we have some flyers for our brothers that are here. I need y'all to look at this flyer. And I need y'all to prayerfully consider attending. It's October 11th through the 13th this year down in North Carolina. It's one of those things that you want to invest in yourself. Okay, as men, we need to be examples inside and outside of our homes. And we need to go where it's okay to be honest, to be transparent. Oh boy.
Go ahead.
Let me get to preaching. But I promise you, you will not come back the same. And wives and girlfriends, whoever's here, this is the kind of stuff you are okay to send your boyfriend or husband away to, knowing what will be poured into him once he comes back. I promise you he'll be a different man.
Amen.
I promise you. I can guarantee that confidently. Okay? So at the end, we're going to make sure we got some flyers. I see my brothers here to help support me. But we're supporting each other because, man, I could go on and on. But, you know, Ellen White's quote, "The greatest need of the world is the one of men."
Right.
Some of y'all know that quote. Men who will not be bought or sold.
Right.
Men who are the inmost souls are true and honest.
Right.
Men who do not fear to call sin by its right name.
Right.
Men who are true to duty as needed to the pole. Men who will stand for the right.
Though
the heavens fall. So you guys are going to check out Pathfinders.
Yes, sir.
This is it. This is a big deal. Pathfinder Sabbath. And I'm listening up here, and I hear my young men getting awards and standing strong, stepping up in leadership.
Amen.
Now I know it's popular now to support our women, and I applaud especially our young women, you know, and especially our young women of color. Amen.
All right.
Okay. And I think it's important, but I think the balance comes when we have our men doing this. I think it's extremely important. So I want to, Carlos, Jake, all my leaders. And in fact, I want y'all to stand up one more time.
Yes,
all
sir.
My Pathfinders, Adventures leader, I need y'all to stand to your feet.
All right.
Now I want you to look at your leaders, Pathfinders, and just say thank you right now. Just do me that favor. Just do me that favor. Say thank you. We appreciate you. Just do that for me. Okay? Now, listen, it's important to acknowledge when things, positive things happen in your way. You know, like we're in graduation season. So it's important to make sure you look people in the eye that have supported you for years and years and years and say thank you. Okay, y'all can have a seat now. You know, been doing this almost 20 years, and it's the long game in youth ministry. they send us in. It's like, forgive the analogy, but they send us in before the war starts. They send us in because nobody sees when we go in and out. But the results show up years and years later. So I want to affirm y'all for what you guys are doing. Man, I'm a former Pathfinder, okay? And I think back now, and I'm driving up, I'm thinking about getting ready for today, and I'm like, man, if I wasn't a Pathfinder, if I didn't have that, you know, even, you know, it was so much fun going camping and going places I've never been to and getting my badges and learning different things. But what I didn't realize was that I was learning confidence and I was learning leadership and I was learning the ability to go into new environments that I've never been before and stand confidently with my head up and my shoulders back because I know who I am. And that's what Pathfinders does and Adventurers does. So don't underestimate what's happening in your young person. Now, you won't see it, especially my teen parents. You will not see it. But I need you to be trusting that God is the seed that's being planted in your young people that will produce fruit that you don't know the bounty that will come. So be consistent with your young people and bring them here. You're tired. You're worn out. But make sure you show up for when Carlos calls the meeting. And when things are planned, and y'all, and they getting Oshkosh. I mean, that you talking about jet fuel into your young person when they get to look around and see thousands of like-minded believers standing strong and praising God together.
Yeah,
that's a powerful thing, y'all.
Yeah.
That's powerful. life-changing. So again, we're looking for the resources. We're looking for the finances. But we don't think about the finances when we're investing in something we know is going to produce money later on. The time that we're investing in these young people.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's I can't do it justice here in this short amount of time. But let me get into this sermon. Pastor Baxter, I appreciate the opportunity to come and present God's word. My wife and I, we love traveling. And we love coming together to come and preach God's word wherever we go. This is a big deal. And I mean, when I look at the bulletin, it says this year's theme is unwrapping your spiritual gift. Y'all have no idea how passionate I am about small, I'm saying small groups, but life change happens in small group, but I'm gonna talk about that later. But spiritual gifts, I think it goes, sadly, by the wayside. When we're preaching the gospel, because to me they go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna get to that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Father, may these might be my words, but let it be your message that gets spoken today. Father, I pray that each heart and mind that can hear my voice will have be open to receive what you have for us today. Bless us now in Jesus' name. We pray. And God's people said together.
Amen.
Let me see if I got my slides. Appreciate my AV team getting my slides started from the bottom. See, my young, I put that in there because my young people know it. And see, listen. Now, church, I need y'all to listen to me very closely. When you're involved in youth ministry, you kind of get to hear what they listen to, okay? Don't judge what the young people listen to. Listen to me very closely. When you judge it, and you shun it, they want it more. But when you say, oh, what are you listening to? It has a catchy beat, because that's most of the time, that's what it is. Talk to me about the song. Engage with them so that it takes that stigma away from it. So when you do that, not only are you dialoguing and becoming closer, but you're learning what they're understanding. Church, oh man, it's like a fire hose of attack coming at our young people. It's like standing, y'all know the fire hose analogy, okay? The internet and social media is coming at them with everything it has at our young people. But when we shun it, and they don't have a place to go. They want to talk to you, parents. They actually want to. They might not say it with their words and face and body language. Okay? This is important. Now, again, see, I'm here to support. I've seen it, parents. I've done this for a long time. I'm not a parent, but I've seen and done it a long time that they actually want to come home and talk to you. But when we shun the things they're involved in or what their friends are involved in, instead of engaging with them, now, there's principles that we need to put in place and boundaries, but if we lack the conversation and the engagement with our young people, what happens is it creates a negative stigma about what they're involved in, and the fact that my mom or my dad always is judging and critical of me. Innate with being a teenager is the propensity to rebel. So what you're doing is adding fuel to the rebellion.
Okay. All right.
Can I preach Pisgah?
Go ahead.
Can I speak God's word? Can I speak the truth?
Speak it.
Whew, I'm going to speak it anyways. Amen. But listen, let's get into this. One of my favorite stories of all time in God's word, I believe one of the most important historical events through the life of Joseph for God's people. Because if Joseph hadn't been Joseph, I'm jumping ahead. Let me slow down. So Joseph, who literally started from the bottom, now we're here. taking full advantage of the worst situation you can have in life, using his gifts of administration and organization, we're going to get into that, to rise to the top of a heathen nation. Yeah. By the way, God needs his people everywhere. Right. Not just in the... Allow God to use him literally to save his entire family and the lineage of Christ. Because y'all know... Let me get to the key points of today's message. So key points of today's message. We have to dare to dream. Pathfinder, this is for you. I need you to dare to dream. Okay, point number one. Point number two, decide before you decide. Okay? Okay, now we got the D's today. Four D's. So D number three, determine to operate in your gift. Okay? And directly rise to the top. This is the recipe, young people. This is literally the crux and the core of what my next book will be. I'm almost finished with the first one. My wife is like killing me to get this thing finished. The first one is called Kindness Defined. Y'all gonna hear more about it, but about how nice guys do finish last, but kind ones rise to the top. Okay? Oh man, I can't. That's another sermon. Let me keep going. Let me hear today's main point. We are all created to solve a problem in today's world. Why do you think you're alive now, right before Christ comes? Young people, God trusts you to be alive in 2019 because he knows he's about to come, but I needed you here now because of the gift I placed in you to be a solution to today's problem, to bring the gospel to light. He trusts you, young people. We are all created to solve a problem in today's world, regardless of our beginnings, using the gift God has given us until he comes.
Amen. Amen.
Oh my goodness. I love this quote. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 213. Ellen White says, but in the, now, before I read this, imagine Joseph in the pit, okay? Now, this, you're talking about drama. This story of Joseph, I mean, forget Days of Our Lives, forget Housewives of Atlanta, forget all of that. You pick up the story of Joseph and you're going to get some real drama, some real intensity, some real confusion, some real like, what? You know, like every time, you know how they have the moment right before the commercial and you're like, what? And then they cut it off and you got to wait through 5-6 commercials before they come back and you're so excited you can't wait to hear the next thing. That's what God's word has for us. Oh man, it's exciting. What I think I appreciate, young people, about God's word is that it's honest. See, what they put in front of a camera, they can edit. They can cut it. And I don't know any about this AV stuff, but y'all know, you know, when you make YouTube videos and it kind of, you can see it kind of cut. And then all of a sudden, well, what happened? That's because they didn't want you to see that part. They messed up or whatever, you know, but the word of God just tells us straight. It tells all of the wickedness and the backwardness and the cruel things, but then God lets it be at known what's going on, especially with his people. The young people want a space to be honest, and they really want to come and talk about it at home. They don't want to talk to their knucklehead friends. They want to talk to you, parents. I'm going to get on the parents, and I'm going to get on the young people, but I need them to be able to go home and say, Mom, I saw something on Instagram. I don't know. I'm confused about it. I saw two girls kissing, but I need you to explain it because in the back of their head, if Mom criticizes this, I'm curious.
Go ahead.
I need y'all to listen very closely because when you shun these things, instead of bringing it to the front, let the light of God shine on it and letting your demeanor not like flip. Because parents, I get it. Now, young people, listen to me. Sometimes your parents want to grab you by the collar and throw you through a glass. Okay? They want to do that. Okay? They don't want to do it because they don't want to catch a case. But they want to do it, and but you understand, you, it's, and you know when you push the buttons, you know, y'all know. Come on, y'all teenagers, y'all know, okay? But what? See, what this is what happens when the young people push, and we don't blow up, but we stay firm, and they push, and you stay firm, and they push, and you stay firm. They're building muscle. They're building integrity. They're building character, spiritual and character muscles.
All right.
But they need a space to do that, and that's at home, parents. Mm-hmm. Okay, commercial over. Okay. So he's in the pit. Joseph's in the pit. He's looking up, and he's imagining his life now. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know where I'm going to. They might kill me because Dad didn't know what he was doing. And he made a whole big mess of promoting one child over the other. Mm-hmm. And now it's a mess because now the children are rebelling against his own son. So now Joseph is there. And he's imagining what is going to end up happening to me. Mm. Sometimes the young people think this way. You guys think this way when you go to a new school. You get ready to graduate. Any about to graduate. 2019, you graduate, going to college, or how many of y'all going to high school from junior high? Anybody here? Okay, one of y'all, a couple of y'all. Okay, so imagine, so I guess I won't call eighth grade or junior high the pit. But I work in a middle school, so I can. It's really intense. It's like dog years in middle school for your young person. Okay, it's really they live a lot of life. Week to week, believe it or not, okay? But they have a lot of questions, and they're looking up at high school, and they're looking at all these, in their mind, grown young people, and okay, well, who will accept me? Mm-hmm. Who will like me? Who will sit next to me at lunch? Who will show me where my classes are? Who will they judge or criticize me because I'm still growing, I'm still maturing, so my body and my personality might not be all there. Will I be awkward? Will I be weird? So they're going through all this in the pit, okay? Some young people go through the pit when they graduate from high school and don't know what they want to do with their career. Mm-hmm. So they're looking around at this big world, and they're terrified of college tuition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the reality. Now, so they're looking at all these things because they're not sure of really who they are. And so they almost want to stay in the pit.
Right, right, right.
Because it's more safe in the pit.
Mm-hmm.
So Joseph is looking. He's not sure what will happen if he were to come out of the pit. And and Reuben finally has some wisdom to say, listen, don't kill him. Throw him in the pit for now. But I don't know where he went. The Bible says he went away, and then he came back. His brother's gone. So he's kind of, so he's trying to, he made a mess, but at least he could have stood up and said, no, we're not doing this as the older brother. But then all of a sudden he's kind of in, but out. But, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, but listen. But in the providence of God, when things don't work out, in the providence of God, when the doors close, in the providence of God, when friends leave you, in the providence of God, when you feel insecure and don't know who you are, even this experience was to be a blessing to him.
Yeah.
He had learned in a few hours that which years might not otherwise have taught him. So he's on his way to Egypt. An unknown place with unknown people. His family is the other direction. They think he's dead. But what he did, he remembered his adventure in Pathfinder years. Oh! He remembered the scriptures that he memorized. He remembered what he did and how he got leadership opportunity to stand up front and make mistakes and grow. Have the opportunity to lead in his family's business. So now, God awoke a confidence in him. So listen. Point number one, is we got it. Young people, I need y'all to dream. I need y'all to dream. I need you to dream. Listen, it's so important. It says, listen, we know Jesus is about to return. We are in the fourth quarter of this world's history.
That's right.
Okay? We are there. But that's when God is going to shine the brightest, y'all. I promise you it's coming, and it's coming through our young people. So the Bible says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Risen upon these young people. Inside these young people. It's the gift that will radiate from them out into the world, and that the other young people in that high school, other young people on that college campus will want what they have.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is about to return, but we need to be ready. But what do we do? What does God want us to do between now and then? Okay, the dream, listen, the dream of the impact they can have for God's kingdom in their community, in their home. Young people, I don't know who's in your home. You might be the one light of the gospel in that home. We don't know what's going on. Our young people used to tell me we would have Friday night talks, and they would say, well, Pastor, I say, listen, you know, I want to go. I like coming here, but when I go home, Mom is cutting up weed on the table. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, the parents are the example. These young people could be the example. So that's why you need to fully support them and make sure that Carlos' budget is fully filled.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Don't let him go begging for money now. Now the young people need to learn how to fundraise and do those kind of things and invest in what you guys are doing. But we don't know what's going on in each home. There's young people here that might be a cousin or somebody else. But what they're learning here, they're taking home so they can be a light in that home, in that school. The young people need to dream. So this is the challenge of the church. This is one of my number one frustrations with how we do things. And I've been in the church, so I'm going to speak on it, okay? Is that we tell the young people what not to do, but what to do, we don't know.
Hmm.
We just say, don't do this, don't do that, don't go there, don't talk to that person, don't read that, don't drink this, don't eat that, don't smoke that, don't sleep with that. But what do we tell them to do?
Mercy. That's true.
Now, I put this in the Amplify. I like the Amplify version. It says, now Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers. So when you have a dream, young people, I want you to, not only, number one, you got to write it down, but number two, you got to tell it to someone else.
Yeah.
Tell it, again, parents, they want to come talk to you. God gave me a dream last night. Young people have gifts too, y'all.
Amen.
And God sometimes like, man, I see my older folks, but they're not where I need them to be for some reason. They're distracted. They want to show that they have a better car than everybody else. So I can't use them. The young people aren't worried about that. So I'm going to go to the young person, and I'm going to give them a dream in the middle of the night. So I believe at least one young person here has had a dream that God has given them the gift of prophecy so that they dream something, and then if something happened, and then they're looking around like, man, I just dreamed that. That's real. But who can I tell?
You tell it to.
Joseph had so much confidence. Look what the Word of God says. Joseph dreamed a dream. He could have kept it to himself, but he didn't. What did he do? He told it to his brothers. Why did he tell it to his brothers? Because he was trying to inspire them as well. His brothers were in a bunch of nonsense. And that's why Dad always said the brother sent him to go find out what they were doing. Remember, he gave him an evil report because of the nonsense the brothers were into. But what Joseph was trying to do, he wasn't being arrogant or prideful, but what he was doing was trying to instill confidence and inspire hope in his brothers. So it says, he told it to his brothers and they hated him. Now, young people, listen to me right here. Listen to me. Insecure people will always be frustrated and not like secure people. So when you have a dream, watch out for haters.
Right.
When you have confidence, watch out for haters.
Yeah.
When you believe in yourself, watch out for haters.
Yeah.
The brothers hated them because they didn't know who they were. So the first chance they get, they're going to pull down anybody else that's trying to do better than them.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that the reality today? That's what Instagram is all about. And that's why they create fake accounts to spam and to taunt and to bully these young people.
Hmm.
But see, in Christ, they're bullyproof. Because they have the confidence of knowing who they are.
Amen.
Let me keep going. Oh, my goodness. Let me keep reading. Let me read this. It says, please listen to the details of the dream, of this dream, which I have dreamed. We brothers were binding sheaves of grain stalks in the field, and to my sheaf suddenly got up and stood upright and remained standing. And behold, your sheaf stood all around my sheaf and bowed down in respect.
Mm-hmm.
This is important. This is important. Just because Joseph had a dream doesn't mean they couldn't have a dream.
Right.
This is key. But let me keep going. I got a lot more. Next slide. Let me keep going. It said, now, this is important. Remember, between Jesus' second coming and now, I believe our lives are much more than getting a job, buying stuff, paying bills, and dying.
All right.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Let me explain why. These young people see that from us and don't want that. Because all we come home is with worry, stress, anxiety, hating Mondays. Mm. They hear all of the frustration that we, and I'm like, in their mind, I'm thinking, man, I want to go to college and kill myself and get a big debt to do what now?
Mm-hmm.
Church, our lives are much more than just this. And I should have put in there waiting for Jesus to come.
Yes.
We come to church on Sabbath. We go to Sabbath school. And then from week to week, in between Sabbath to Sabbath until Jesus comes, what's happening? God needs us as there are, just like God needs, he needed Daniel,
mm-hmm.
he needed Joseph, in the world, oh my goodness,
right.
Because God needed them, because God loves the people in the world too. He does, right? Y'all believe Amen. That? Does the church believe that?
Amen.
So we can't wait for them to walk in here on a Sabbath morning. Let me keep going.
Mm-hmm.
See, our dream, listen, young people, our dream is a cherished aspiration. It's an ambition or an ideal. When you have that dream, it should wake you up in the morning. It should get you up out of your chair. See, when I think about being a young person, I think about John Wall. He's what, you know, well, he's our local basketball star. I have a lot of challenges with the Wizards right now, but. He was the number one draft pick of the Washington Wizards a couple years ago. And how did he become the number one draft pick?
He dreamed.
See, the dream will get you up, young people. The dream will inspire other people to support you. See, his parents were open to hear the dream that he had and were willing to get up with him and get him to practice so that his gift could be, his talent could be in operation. I'm going to talk about the difference in a little bit. But he had a dream to be the number one. You think that was the first time when he was walking across the stage to the commissioner for the Washington Wizards to call his name? You think that was the first time he said, I want to be the number one draft pick in the NBA? He's been dreaming about this for years, young people. That's what I'm saying. When you don't dream, listen. It must be born in the mind that the tragedy of life doesn't lie in not reaching your goal. The tragedy lies in having no goals to reach.
Have mercy. Wow. Have mercy.
That's why it's important to dream, young people. So when I go back around in D.C. and I see the young men standing on the corner, and I see them with nothing to do, and I remember growing up in D.C. and going to my cousin's house. I would come to church on Sabbath, then I would spend a night over at their house, and then we would go Sunday morning, go to his church. And then after church, we would run home, change our clothes, and then go back to the basketball court. So all Sunday afternoon, we used to play ball. And what we would do is we'd be playing all day. But then these cars would drive up. Mm-hmm. The whole park stood still. Hamilton Court, right off of Georgia Avenue. And the whole park would stop. And these guys would come out. I mean, cars, big old smoke billowing out the cars. And they would get out and kind of be stumbling. They would have drinks or whatever. They'd sit them to the side. And they would walk on the court. And our no matter what the score was in our game was over. Okay? That was done. So what they would do is they would get on the court and they would start playing. And my eyes would be like, the whole community seemed like they were standing around the court and they were watching these guys play. And I'm like, man, these guys are way better than the NBA players. Huh? And I'm thinking like, man, I don't even want to watch. I want to come here every Sunday and watch these guys play. Because they were doing things I had never seen on TV from the NBA professionals. Mm-hmm. But then I thought, as I got older, I used to think, okay, well, why are those guys playing there instead of playing in the NBA? Because they had no dreams.
No dreams.
They had no goals.
No goals.
They were satisfied with where they were. That's why we have to let our young people dream. Because they are a solution to a problem in today's world. So when they dream, God gives them the dream so that they can be the solution to the problem, and we support and encourage them to get to where they need to go and not force them into a degree or a career that has nothing to do with their gift. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Because you want to look good and be at everybody slap you on your back because they're a doctor, they're a lawyer. They're... Careful. Mm-hmm. Let me keep going. Point number two. Decide before you decide. What does that mean? Character development is the foundation of every successful and faithful young person. That's what Pathfinders is all about. Showing, being where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. Being given a new set of instructions and completing those instructions to produce a result. That's what the job is that you're going to. That's what it is. You've never done it before. Now you have to be able to take in. That's what that's what high school, that's what grad school, that's what PhD is all about. The only thing different young people about high school than college and PhD and master's is that you're doing it more in a group setting.
Right.
That's the only difference. It's just new classes. So once you learn how to study, then all you're doing is applying those study skills to new subjects that you've never seen before. So that you can produce the results that you need to get to where you're trying to go. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know where you're trying to go, you're sitting in class, why am I here? Mm-hmm. What's this for? I'm never gonna use math. Mm-hmm. You know, but what once you know what you're doing, where you're going, who you are, what your gift is, you'll look at everything related to math in association with your gift. How can this help my gift to go to the next level, to be sharper, faster, more efficient, more effective, more impactful? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the character, listen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. The Lord was with Joseph. He even though a slave, became a successful and prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now the master saw that the Lord was with him and that all that he did prosper and succeed in his hand. Okay? Now if we go down to verse, same chapter 39, if we go down to verse 7, and it says, and it came to pass that after these things that the master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. Now, young men, I'm talking to you right now, okay? I got a few of y'all here. Listen to me very closely. Back in the day, it used to be the fellas that used to be the ones that, oh, I got with her, so I got another notch in my belt. Mm-hmm. Now, it's the ladies that want a notch. You want you to be the notch in the belt.
Have mercy.
They're using their sexuality, some of them now, some of these young ladies, because they don't know who they are. They feel insecure, so the only thing they have is their bodies. So to feel good about themselves and to get more confidence, they use their sexuality to bring down a young man of God with character. Yeah. They're looking for y'all. Mm. They see, oh, I can get with him, and I can pull him down to my level. Yeah. because I don't feel good about myself. I'm really being manipulative and vindictive because I don't feel good about myself. So I want to pull him down. I want to use my sexuality to manipulate and tempt him to get down from where where I see him to where I am. Yeah. And I feel better about myself because my sexuality pulled down that young man of God. Mm. I feel better now. Mm. So I don't care how much he looks like Rihanna. I don't care. You got to watch the character, young man. See, that's why I know I got me a winner. Because I can see she's beautiful and sexy. But she has the character to go with it, young men.
That's character.
So don't just look at how fine and beautiful she is. Look at the character. Usually it only takes like 5 minutes to talk to them to figure out what they're about.
Yeah.
You ask them something crazy, like something ridiculous, like what was the last book you read? They'll shut all of it down. You know exactly what you need to find out. And young ladies, by the way, y'all should do the same thing. Ask them what the last book they read. Oh well, you know I was watching this, reading this magazine, the book, man. What book?
Yeah.
So we need to understand and know that the devil hates where you are. He hates that you're in pathfinders. He hates that you have goals. He hates that you have dreams. So he's going to use any and everything. Someone else, see, what the devil does is he finds the insecure people and manipulates them to go after the secure people.
Yeah.
And pull them down.
Yeah.
Young people, y'all see this every day. Y'all, I'm not telling y'all nothing new. But what y'all don't know is that the insecure people always have problem with the secure people. They always have problem with the young lady that walks with confidence and don't need to be dressing all kind of crazy so that they can get attention from guys that don't know who they are either.
Right.
They're also insecure.
Right.
That, I'm telling y'all, confidence changes everything. It will open doors that other things won't. The Bible says, there is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? See, Joseph decided before he decided. He didn't wait until when he was in the back of the temporaries when the teacher went on lunch and one of the kids put something in the door so that when the door closed and it closed all the way, the teacher goes to lunch, the temp is there by empty, and you go in there with that young lady or that young man by yourselves. Mm. Anybody know this happens, y'all?
Yeah, it happens.
You decide before you decide, before you in her basement, fellas. And she's talking about, oh, let's just turn on Netflix and chill. Right. And parents are gone. Mm. Mm. You got to decide before you decide, young people. You have to know what your limits are. No, I'm not going here with you. Who's going to be home? Ask those questions. Mm-hmm. Don't let your parents do it. You know what you're about. You know what you're not willing to do. Ask them. Check them. Nobody going to be there? Nah, no. We're not going.
Right.
I'm not comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Point number three, determine to operate in your gift. We are all born with a spiritual gift. Everybody in this church, everybody we pass by on the road, at our job, at our schools. Mm-hmm. But what happens is it's like an iPhone that hasn't been charged. Now this is the latest one right here, young people. They know what I'm talking about. And what happens is you got the 10X Max, but no battery. So the potential is there. The potential is there. But with no source of power, this is just a paperweight at best.
That's right.
Hold doors open or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know, something crazy, useless. But with power. See, what happened is, listen. So we gotta find out who we are. We gotta figure out if we're the right tool for the job. If we don't know who we are, we'll never know when it's time to go into operation.
That's right.
To listen to hear your assignments. Is there a doctor in the house? Doctors, somebody choking in the restaurant, is there a doctor here? The doctor doesn't think, well, you know, I don't know if they really need me. No, we need you because the call is there. The assignment is there for you. They know when to go into operation instinctively. And they're literally commanded by law to go into operation. But what happens is we don't know which tool we are. So we don't. When we hear any call, we don't know when to go into operation. This is the gift, y'all. And God is looking down. He's like, man, I'm looking for that tool. Some of y'all don't know how to fix stuff. You're in the toolbox. You're looking around. Where is that tool?
Yeah.
And you're frustrated because you can't do the job because you don't have the tool. And without the tool, you can't get the job done in a fast, efficient, and effective way. There might be other tools in there that might can almost do the job, but it's not efficient. It's not impactful. It's not specific enough. So when God had you be born, he said, God never said oops when you showed up.
All right.
Because he knew I need the tool for the job.
That's right. That's right.
Based on the dream, you already know who you, where you are, where you stand on key issues for yourself and God, not in the heat of the moment. So we already talked about that. So, okay, we're all born. It needs to get powered on. See, this is important. Jesus got baptized by his cousin John and then went into the wilderness. Joseph went into the pit, then went to Egypt. That's when the gift begins to get operation. Because when Jesus got baptized, what did the Holy Spirit come and do? It came and fell on him. That's why it's so important, young people, that you get baptized. But baptism is not the only, that's not the end, that's just the beginning. And in church, we mess up and we're so excited and we do a phenomenal job, better than all the other denominations, of baptizing young people. But once they get baptized, they come up out of the pool, we miss the part of the power. And we miss the part of the implementation or the empowering of the gift so they can go into operation. I don't care how young they are. If the gift is there, the gift is there.
Amen.
Now they have the power from the Holy Spirit in a daily connection with Christ, learning of him, reading his word, in prayer. Now they feel confident, can go into operation and be used by God in the school, at home, in the community. Jesus didn't do a miracle until after he got baptized. Come on, y'all. We know, we read the Bible. We read it as evidence. We know the word. But we miss the progression when it applies to our young people. We're so happy to get baptized, but we don't know where to plug them in. Then my question is, and I thought about it, maybe the adults don't know where to plug in either. And it's okay. But again, the first thing we have to do is acknowledge, man, I come to church, I read my Sabbath school quarterly, but I don't know what my gift is. I'm inspired by, look what the young people put in the bulletin. Look what is here. It said the theme for this year is unwrapping your spiritual gifts. What good is a gift if it's still wrapped in under the tree? We're not in Christmas time, but y'all understand what I'm saying? This is a challenge. See, this is where the world gets confused. Forgive the small font. But listen, spiritual gifts are activated by the Holy Spirit during baptism. But talent, there's a difference between talent and spiritual gifts, y'all.
All right.
Talent is primarily a natural ability. So LeBron James was naturally gifted at basketball from when he was born. I mean, there's no discussion. I mean, just instant. I mean, he just give him a ball. It doesn't matter where he was. Eventually, once he gets the ball in his hand, it'll be no stopping. Okay? Natural, right? Usain Bolt. I mean, you can go on and on. Once you get him on the track, it's lights out. My challenge, see, let me read.
That's right.
Spiritual gifts are enhanced by character. Talent is not based on character.
All right.
This is important. That's why we can't elevate the talent too much, church. Spiritual gifts can elevate you to the top of your job, career, and business. But talent can get most in the door. So it'll get you in the door, but not rise you to the top. How do I know?
Anybody recognize this guy? church, this is
good. R. Kelly grew up in the church. But what happened was, the talent was clearly there, but the gift wasn't in operation. Because the gift was dormant, I'll say. The gift was dormant, the talent was there. He got in the door of stardom, but now he didn't have the character to sustain him there. Now this whole, the Me Too movement, is him and all kind of other guys of talent rose them to the top of their industry, but now the Me Too movement is exposing what was been in their heart the whole time. And now it's coming to light all the vicious, cruel, and spiteful things they've done to take advantage of women because of their position. Now they've fallen from grace. But if he knew the gift that God had given him, which I believe was, see, the talent could go it could combine with the gift, but it has to combine with the gift so that's why I say nice guys do finish last, because you don't need to be nice. You don't need God to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
You need him to be kind, though.
Right.
Ooh, listen, I want to preach that service so bad. Because kindness is a spiritual gift.
That's right.
It's a fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Nice guys do finish last. Oh, I can't preach that today. Not today. Listen. Oh, wrong way. Yeah. Me and Jay know about this guy right here. It says, listen, Dr. Miles Monroe, by the way. It says, a gift is the inherent capacity to fulfill a function that meets a need in creation. That's why our young people are a solution to a problem in today's world, because of the gift. That's why God didn't say, oops, when you showed up. There's a plan and purpose he had. And by the way, the plan of God's life and the purpose of God's life is not as static and rigid as we believe it is. It's all about God needed. He just needed Joseph in Egypt. That's once I get him there. Once he got there, the gifts rose him to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Even in jail.
That's right.
This I love. Now I don't love Steve Harvey. Oh, there's some things I have had some challenge with him. If I ever meet him, I might say, "Hey, Steve, this and that." But I love what he says here. He says, listen, your gift is what you do with the absolute best with the least amount of effort. It don't take, and by the way, I'm jumping around. But once I finally found my gift, church, once I finally learned that my gift was exhortation and teaching, and Carlos, I learned it when I was teaching Sabbath school. All of a sudden with the young people, all of a sudden the light went off. This is natural for me.
Mm-hmm.
I stay up nights excited to go and teach Sabbath school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a natural thing. What you do to get maximum results with minimal effort. That's your gift, young people.
Mm-hmm.
That's it right there. So all now, this is the... Let me hurry get to the end here. The Bible says, Proverbs 18:16, a man's gift will make room for him and brings him before great men.
Yeah.
This is the story of Joseph in a nutshell. It opened doors that would not ordinarily have been there, but Joseph was faithful.
Amen.
Joseph was connected, and Joseph knew his gift. Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
And by the way, what was his gifts? I believe Joseph's gifts were the gift of administration or organization and the gift of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we remember when the baker and the butler came into the prison. Now, he could have ignored them, but he had character.
Mm.
He treated everybody he saw the same, regardless of what position or background they came from.
Mm-hmm.
So he was able to minister to them in their moment of need, listen to their dream. And we know what the Word of God says. Pharaoh had a dream. And the butler finally remembered, wait a minute. There was a dude. There was a guy that was gifted, that had a relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
that the Spirit of God was on.
Mm-hmm.
Pharaoh said, go get him.
Go get him. Bring him to me.
A man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man excelling in his work? That I'm a misquoted, but basically it will he will be able to stand before kings and not be unknown because of the gift. Joseph operated in his gifts. See, these are the gifts. See, these are the spiritual gifts right here. Evangelism. See, music. See, encouragement, service, teaching, knowledge. These are the gifts. So it's not about the job. It's about the work. Mm-hmm. See, Jesus was a carpenter by job, but his work was Savior. He knew how to do his, he could go to work and do his job. I mean, he could work, you know, when I say work like regular, see, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he has before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay? God knows who we are based on our gift. Your identity, young people, is in your gift. But the power comes in our connection with Christ. What do we do? See, the Bible says, see, between now and when Jesus comes back again, just like this is from the parable of the 10 talents. Mm-hmm. Remember what happened when one guy didn't want to use his talent? Or his gift, I'll say. The steward got mad and frustrated with him. But the guy that put his talents to work, what happened? See, spiritual gifts are dynamic. You start with one, you mess around and end up with two or three. Because it's not static.
Right.
And as I close here, we notice this quote. With such an army... This is from Education 271. With such an army of workers as our youth, rightly trained, how soon a message of a crucified, risen, and soon coming Savior might be carried to the whole world. I love this quote, but the challenge is, what do we define as rightly trained? I believe, and I will stand, I'm dedicated to this thing, so my next book will be on this. One of my big, gigantic goals and dreams is to develop curriculum and books so that when our young people, see, the last one is that we rise to the top. My goal is that when they walk across that stage for graduation, they are so confident in who they are. Not only have they learned and mastered their gift, now they walk across with confidence because they know the degree that they're going to choose is perfectly suited and matched up with the gift so that they can monetize it. See, it's not, see, money is just like the internet. In the wrong hands, all kind of drama, but in the right hands, in the hands of God's people, that we can be a channel of blessing. God blesses us, we can bless others. God blesses us, we can bless others. God blesses us, we can bless others. Mm-hmm. All through our gift. But he looks around at the church and says, oh, that channel is clogged up. That channel is clogged up because they're selfish, they're bitter, they're cruel and vindictive, they're manipulative. Mm-hmm. They walk around saying happy Sabbath, but will stab somebody in the back of the heartbeat. Happy. They have these conversations in the parking lot talking about the pastor and talking about the head deacon when they have no courage to go and take that one to the side, one-on-one, like the Bible says in Matthew 18. And if we do it right, we can win a brother. But when we gossip in the parking lot, that produces nothing.
Right.
Rightly trained, church. Rightly trained, and I believe it 100% with all my heart, is with the gift that God has birthed in them from day one. If we give that gift the opportunity to be unwrapped and to shine, not only will the young people have joy and satisfaction, but God's name will get magnified. And God's gift will get the glory. And the world will want what we have. Just like when they saw Joseph rise to the top. Joseph was able to use his position and to use his gifts, not only to save himself and his family, but in the entire nation of Egypt. And the then known world, the lineage of Christ was able to come through him.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Now we are saved. What if Joseph didn't operate in this gift? What if we don't let our young people operate in their gift? What environment, what home, what young person, what group of young people won't be inspired and influenced and motivated to want to get to know the God that they know? This is my challenge as I close, is that our young people need to uncover and begin to master their spiritual gift. And number two, consistently build a strong character. And the last one is to have the courage to dream. Yeah, we all know this. You intended harm for me.
God intended.
But God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. See, when we're out of operation, when we're out of order, when we're not using the gift, we can't do this, because this is what God has called each one of us to do, not just Joseph. Each one of us to do. Pathfinders want you to stand to your feet. And one of my, I mean, this is, I resonate with him because he's an exhorter. See, like a game recognized game. Young people know what I'm talking about. Gift recognized gift. So when I look at this man, I get inspired, because I know that if God continues to use me, he will give me the opportunity. Again, see, it's not about me. It's about the gift that God's going to use through me so I can minister to others and to shine a light and to inspire and to motivate. See, when these gifts, when these young people, when I look at them, all I see is gifts. Every one of them. Special, anointed. You have an assignment, young people. And just like this one, I want you, just like what Martin Luther King challenged us, he says, listen, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep the streets as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep the streets as so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. Young people, I want you to know, you're no street sweeper, because you have a connection with Christ. You have a spiritual superpower that once you let that gift be in operation, your life will change. And not only will your life be changed, just like Joseph was rise up to the top, it was an influence to save many people, you'll be able to do the same. So church, I want you to pray. I want you to pray for these young people, not because they're in Pathfinders, because you're their gift.
Amen.
Not because they're getting ready to go to Oshkosh and be inspired. But because they're a gift. Yeah. And because God needs that gift in operation in 2019 to save many lives. And the challenge and what we need to do is not only to pray, but to be a model for what that gifts Amen. Look like in the church and out in and outside the church to give God the glory. Mm-hmm. Let me pray, church. Mm-hmm. Father in heaven, this is your day. We come together on the Sabbath in spirit and in truth, God. Lord, I believe that your word was spoken here today. And I know it was uncomfortable, it was something new, but I'm challenging myself and I'm challenging everybody in here. I'm challenging these young people to learn and to unwrap the gift that you have given each one of us, God. Mm-hmm. And that we will be inspired, and God, that we will want to be a place of inspiration, that we will go out and use the gift to inspire others to win them to you, God. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for these young people and their parents, God. Bless and provide for them, each one of them, what they need, but help us to have the character to not only get us in the door, but to sustain us all the way to the top so we can be in place of influence so that we can win others to you. Bless us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Mm-hmm. And God's people said together.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.